verbiage on page line 7 and lines 8 and 9.
Could I pose a question?
Sure.
The reason that I'd like to offer this and get your thoughts, Mr. Fidelli, is because it seems to me you've got a circumstance already, and correct me if I'm wrong, where both sides can, if they can get access to it, can get various evaluations that they can submit. The difference here appears to be that the prosecution is able to force one, and I'm not sure. Are you allowed to force one? Are you allowed to, under Constitution, are you allowed to force someone to take an action which may be self-incrimination?
Mr. Chairman, the whole point of putting this in is that without something like this, we would not be able to get a defendant to subject himself to an evaluation. So we need this requirement in here. In ordinary criminal cases, if the person isn't claiming there's anything wrong with them, well, we can't have them evaluated. I mean, we can't have someone sit down and ask them questions. But once they have put their mental condition into issue, I mean, if they're claiming that they are insane or claiming that they have a mental disease or defect that prevents them from being competent to stand trial, at that point, then the only way for us to gather any information is to subject them to some kind of evaluation. Now, the law as it stands allows the court to order an evaluation with a court chosen psychiatrist. The defendant himself goes out and picks his own psychiatrist or psychologist to give a report. If it's an unfavorable report, it never sees the light of day. If it's a favorable report, of course it gets submitted in court. And the prosecution, without this kind of language, can only rely on the court's chosen psychologist, and that person from the state's point of view may not be the best to evaluate that particular defendant. So that is why we suggest that this language be included in here to make it clear that the state has the right to choose a psychologist as well.
Representative Green?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does this in any way require change court rules?
It does not. It does not.
President Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what's wrong with the court choosing the person, the psychologist or psychiatrist?
Well, the court has a certain role in making judgments and evaluating evidence, but we operate in an adversarial system of justice, and that adversarial system of justice is designed to work when both parties bring in the evidence that they choose to bring to the court. If the prosecution is unable to have its psychiatrist evaluate the defendant, then the prosecution is forced to rely on a psychiatrist chosen by the defense and a psychiatrist chosen by the judge, neither one of which may adequately represent appropriate views. I mean, there are defense-oriented psychologists and there are prosecution-oriented, and we hope that the court will choose one in between, but again, I mean, this is a system where both sides ought to be allowed to present the evidence that they think is best.
It's just an observation, but it seems to me the court would be more likely to appoint a neutral one if they knew that if they didn't, the prosecution can require that another one be appointed at their request.
And my argument is just that the court is making the decision, and the court's going to most likely listen to the one they appointed. I mean, it just seems to me we're setting up something. I don't know what the point of it is. It's the court's decision, so if the court, whoever they pick, to be a psychiatrist or psychologist, is probably the one they're going to base their decision on.
Unfortunately, when we say the court, we're talking about a whole bunch of different individuals. Some of them have pretty pointed opinions in these areas.
But Mr. Chairman, that's my point. It's still that same judge making the decision. The judge appoints the psychologist.
But if there's something on that judge's record from this other person, he's got it on the record and he can't overlook it unless he wants to get reversed. Only what he wants to hear gets on his record.
Mr. Chairman, as a practical matter, if the judge really does appoint, you know, someone who is viewed by the state as objective and neutral, the state ordinarily is not going to, you know, subject that to a second opinion. It's only in those cases where, there are a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists that we don't, I I don't want to say we don't trust, but we don't put as high a value on their opinion as others. I mean, there are some who really aren't, you know, well versed in this area of the law, and I think it just it's I don't know that it does any harm in the unusual case. It's going to present the court with another viewpoint that the court ought to be able to see.
We've had a motion as described. Is there objection? I will object for the purposes of discussion, which I think we've just had.
That was to remove. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was to remove the line 7, 8, and 9, sans the first two words on page 2.
Your objection.
Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Green?
No.
No.
Representative Davis?
No.
That was no?
No.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Chairman
Porter? No. Motion fails. Chair? Representative Finkelstein?
One last amendment that doesn't require any discussion is back on the amended section of Section 3. We still have the concept of maintaining employment in there. I just move to strike that concept from the amendment we adopted. And the reason is that employment, as Mr. Winnelli stated, can be as limited as licking a stamp or scrubbing a floor or, you know, incredibly simple menial tasks. And I don't think that is ever should be even a consideration necessarily. If we want to say a high level job or, you know, something operating some higher level, but
Representative Green?
I object to that, Mr. Chairman. I think the fact that it's been reworded now, at least conceptually, that that's just something they would consider. It's not a series of things that could, any one of which could trigger it. It's just a matter of these are things to consider. Some employment may not apply, licking envelopes, but other employment, I think, would have a tendency to make the case that the person is competent.
I think in this case, speaking to the amendment, here I would rather have the court have the ability to make the consideration, and obviously if the proverbial licking of stamps is it for employment, I don't think they would give that a whole lot of consideration. But trying to say meaningful employment or high-level employment or begs a definition that we're not prepared to try to get into.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Finkelstein?
Well, that's a good point. I'll withdraw the amendment.
Are there any other considerations? What is the wish of the committee?
I'd move this bill on to with its individual recommendations and fiscal notes, if there are any, to...
There are.
Wherever.
There is.
Wherever.
Okay. We've had a somewhat non-specific, but I think we can find direction to it. Motion to move this bill from committee with individual recs and fiscal notes as attached. Is there objection? Not the bill is moved. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
We did it.
Mr. Chairman, would you still like me to put that amendment in writing?
Yes. Think we
I
got it.
Okay.
Right, yeah, probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right.
Well done.
Joe?